book of Daniel today, and I've been enjoying getting kind of wrapped up in the study of Daniel and prophecy in general, and kind of getting overwhelmed and the complexity and the simplicity. You know, some people, I'm convinced of this, especially in the ministry, some people's spiritual gift is to make the simplest thing complicated. It seems to be true in the ministry. It doesn't have to be that complicated, and especially when it comes to prophecy. We kind of want to see everything from which toe is which and who's got athlete's foot under the toe and a hangnail or whatever in the toe and think, hey, it doesn't have to be that complicated. But the book of Daniel is an amazing book of prophecy. It's really the groundwork. If you don't get the book of Daniel, you might as well forget any further study in the book, in any kind of biblical prophecy. And we live in a day when folks are enamored by all kinds of drama and things, just like in prophecy, just like anything else. But Daniel does give us a basic outline of the conflict of the end of this world. We've been saying all along that Daniel is a contrast between the gods of this world and the God of heaven, the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of heaven. And we see in the book of Daniel man's empires, the best that man can do. The first kingdom, of course, the kingdom of Babylon, and then the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And they're described so accurately in the book of Daniel that for many liberal scholars say, well, Daniel could not have written that book because he describes so accurately the kingdoms that were still in the future to him. Now, a lot of them are history to us, but the problem with that is there have been some ancient copies of Daniel found that predate when the liberals say that he wrote the book of Daniel. But we believe the Bible around here, and we believe that God says what he means, and that God wrote what he wants us to know. But Daniel lived during the time of those four empires, and this is just a review, an overview of the book of Daniel during the, of course, most of his life was under the Babylonian rule, and the end of his life was a Medo-Persian empire, so he saw those empires, but the ones that he described later, he never lived to see, and we look back at them as history now. And if you're familiar with the book of Daniel in chapter number 2, we see the vision of Nebuchadnezzar. And also God gave Daniel that same vision so he could tell Nebuchadnezzar not only what the vision was, but what it means. And he saw there the image that represented the four great world empires. And then in Daniel chapter number 7, which we were in this week, he describes four beasts. In Daniel chapter 8, he's going to emphasize the ram and the he-goat. And chapter number 11, the conflicts between the earthly kings, these four kings, and they're all looking at the same thing, but from a different perspective. They're all emphasizing something different and for a different purpose. I would encourage you, and I gave these out Wednesday, I only ran off a few, and I ran off a few more this morning. Some of them might not have copied exactly right, but I've been encouraging you to study because we don't have the time to go into great detail, especially on Sunday morning. We do go over some more things on Wednesday night, but I gave out Wednesday night a copy of chapter in J. Vernon McGee's commentary of the Bible, through the Bible, and this is just, I think it's about 10 or 12 pages long, of his commentary in chapter number 7. And the reason I wanted to give this out, because it is a study, an outline of all of Bible prophecy in the things to come. And he outlines that, of course, in Daniel chapter number 7. And I want you to see this because this is the common, ordinary, traditional, historic understanding of Bible prophecy. And this is a good outline and a good study. I've got one copy here to remind me to mention that to you, and I can make more copies if you'd like to follow it. Because I say that because we've got a lot of crazy ideas concerning prophecy today. when the rapture is going to take place, if there is such a thing as a rapture. This is what's been taught for hundreds of years, and it's very clearly taught in the Bible. Even though J. Vernon McGee was not a Baptist in his lifetime, he's in heaven now, so he is a Baptist now. So we can say that about him. All right, so I don't read anything unless it's written by a Baptist. You know, some people are goofy about stuff like that, but he is right on the mark when it comes to an outline of Bible prophecy. I just want to mention that this morning by way of introduction. And the course today, we're focusing on the end of Daniel chapter number 8, or Daniel chapter number 7. We'll be in chapter 8 next week, Lord willing. I had two messages. I just decided last night, this morning, what I'm preaching this morning, because I had a message for this morning and one for tonight that was going to add to this morning's message, but then we've got something special tonight, so we'll save them for another time. So I kind of had to rework things this morning that I want to show you from Daniel chapter number 7. But I want to back up and start back in Daniel chapter number 2. If you go back to chapter 2 leading into chapter 7, because like I said, chapter 2 and chapter 7, when you study them simultaneously, in chapter 2 we're looking at the world empires from the viewpoint of man. And in chapter number 7 we're looking at those same empires from the viewpoint of God. We talked a little bit about that Wednesday night, but I just want to share some things with you this morning that I think will be a help to you, even if you weren't here Wednesday night. In Daniel chapter number 2, beginning, let's stand together as we read the Word of God. I just want to read a section of Scripture from Daniel 2 and then a section from Daniel 7, just a couple verses from each chapter, and we'll tie them together. In chapter number 2 and verse number 44, and verse number 45. In fact, verse number 44 is our memory verse. So read that one with me or quote it with me, all right? That's been our memory verse for the book of Daniel. Daniel 2, 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Then down verse number 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now, I want you to jump to chapter number 7. I'm sorry, I didn't mean for you to read along with me, but you're fine to read along with me. You're fine to preach along with me. That's too good, too. Chapter number 7, and verse number 13 and 14. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. As his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, that you came and sought us as unworthy sinners. Lord, you reached down and provided a way of salvation. And you called us to yourself when we responded to that invitation, that call, and received you as our Savior. What a blessing, what a hope we have in Christ. And one day, as Jesus raised himself from the dead, one day he'll raise us from the dead, from this old body, from this old body of clay, this temporary temple that we live in today. And Lord, we'll be glorified with you for all eternity. Lord, we thank you for the hope that's ours in Christ. I pray as we live in this present world, in this dark day that we live in today, Lord, that we would realize that we can walk with you and that you are the light of the world. And we can have fellowship with you and joy in your presence. Bless now your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a seat if you will. And Daniel, of course, we're going to talk about the prophecies that Daniel saw. And I'm going to summarize a lot of things. And again, I won't have time to go into great detail. There's a couple of things I really want to emphasize this morning. And we consider the prophecies that Daniel saw. Before we see the things that Daniel saw, before we see the things that the blind man saw or something like that, before we see what Daniel saw, I want you to notice and observe some things that Daniel did not see in his prophecy. And it's important for us to remember this when we look at the Old Testament prophecy and compare it to New Testament prophecy. There's some things that Daniel did not see in his prophecy. Daniel did not see, as the Old Testament prophets, for the most part, did not see the difference between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. He saw them as one event. And when you understand that, it's not surprising that the Jewish rabbis in Jesus' day didn't understand what Jesus was doing in his first coming. They thought it was going to be one event. And that's how Daniel portrayed it as. The coming of the Messiah is also the time that he's going to judge the world. Even the disciples of Jesus that followed him, that believed him, didn't understand that in their lifetime because they were going by the Old Testament prophets. Now, the last 2,000 years of what we call history, Daniel did not see in his prophecy. He saw the earthly kingdoms, the four great kingdoms, but he didn't see the time lapse. In fact, we're going to get into the 70 in chapter number 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel that outlined the history from when Jerusalem went out of Israel went out of captivity back to Jerusalem and began to rebuild the city of Jerusalem from that time until the end time. Daniel said that's going to be 70 weeks or 77s. 70 periods of 7 years. That was exactly the prediction from the time of restoring Jerusalem unto the time of the coming of the Messiah. And that was the first 69 weeks. But then there's a pause. And we've yet to see the 70th week of Daniel. What Daniel did not see is that what we see now is a 2,000-year pause from the 69th to the 70th week of Daniel. And it's no wonder that the disciples, after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection in Acts chapter number 1, when the disciples gathered together with Jesus, they came with one question. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time? Is this the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's up to you to share the gospel, to go into all the world to preach the gospel. So that from that time until our present time, until the trumpet sounds to begin the 70th week of Daniel, Daniel never saw that. The Roman Empire is still in control of things, so to speak. The Roman Empire is an unusual empire in many ways, and one of those ways, all the other empires that Daniel talked about lasted a couple hundred years. But Rome has gone on now for over 2,000 years, and it's still in place today as far as biblical prophecy is concerned. And Daniel never saw the Church of Jesus Christ made up of Jew and Gentile. He was concerned with the Jew only. And the Gentile world were, you know, they were nothing as far as he was concerned. God's concern was with the Gentile people or the Jewish people. Daniel never saw the churches that Jesus would raise up as individual bodies of Christ that would preach the gospel around the world. Daniel didn't see any of that in his prophecy. He did not completely understand. Of course, he didn't see the rejection of the Jewish Messiah when he would come to the nation of Israel. And I will say this, that the Jewish nation has not only rejected Israel, they've rejected God himself. When we talk about the nation of Israel today, we need to understand this. The nation of Israel today is a secular nation. There's no belief of God any more than there is a belief of God in America today. They're God's chosen people, but they've completely rejected even the existence of God in general. just like America. They are what the world says, a secular nation, what I would call a pagan nation, because they do not only they don't acknowledge Jesus and Messiah, they don't even acknowledge there is a God. But that's just the nation that we're looking at today when folks talk about Israel in the world today. Now, there's going to come a time when God's going to restore them, but that's not what we're looking at right now. But now I want to look at this morning when we talk about the prophecy that Daniel saw. That's what he did not see. But what Daniel did see is, first of all, I guess the second point is, the first point Daniel did not see, the second point is the culmination of the kingdoms of men. What Daniel saw is these four empires. They're represented in Daniel chapter number 2 as an image, where Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold, and down to the final image of the Roman Empire with the feet of half iron and half clay. The same image, the same picture is given in Daniel chapter number 7, where he see here four beasts that devour, that conquer, that destroy one another, rather than stand with each other. What Daniel saw is that man's rejection of God for the God of this world. And by the way, Satan always gives us promises that he cannot deliver. He always promised, hey, I'll build a great... And back to the ancient Babylon, when man first got off of the ark and they began to build, God said, I want you to scatter over all the world. And man says, no, let us make a man. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us make an image. Let us make a nation. And ancient Babylon is where all that started. And now modern Babylon, we're seeing the same thing. But man's history is measured by wars. And we look at Daniel chapter number 7. Let me just point out a few things as we go through this morning. Man's history is measured by wars. If you study history, it's going to be this war, then this war, then this war. That's what history is all about, one war after another. And Daniel starts out in verse number 2 of Daniel 7. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds. There again, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, wind, it's a windy day out there today. I haven't really been out of town yet, so I can't feel how windy it is. But the wind's not so bad when it's all coming from one direction. And that's when he saw these empires. Okay, this one's blowing here. There's the Babylonian Empire. Here's the Grecian Empire. Here's the Persian Empire. Here's the Roman Empire. But when they're all blowing at the same time from different directions, now we've got big problems. Now we've got a hurricane going on. Verse number 3, for the four beasts came up from the sea. And all through the Bible, and again, I'm not have time to go in to develop all of this, but you understand in the Bible, the sea is speaking about the mass of humanity and the empires of the world and all the people around the world represented throughout the Bible as a great sea, a mass of humanity. These beasts rose up out of that sea, one diverse, one from another. All of history is measured by wars. This one rose up, and then this one rose up and conquered that one. Then another one rose up and conquered that one. And that's how we measure and study history. And the last empire is what Daniel is going to focus. He's going to mention the first three, but the last one he's going to spend the great deal of Daniel 7 focusing on, down to verse number 7. And again, I'm going to jump down to the Roman Empire, is represented here in verse number 7. And after this, I saw the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. Again, I'm tempted to go back and explain these beasts, but we're not going to do it again this morning as we did Wednesday night. Strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue of the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now I want you to see this in verse number 8. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Just a couple things about this horn. And again, this is, as we studied Wednesday night, and this paper, if you want to read a little bit farther, a better explanation of this. This is the last empire, the Roman Empire. And I want you to notice at it, what it just said. It is a mixture of a beast and iron. In other words, part animal and part machine. That's an important thing to remember here. It had eyes that could see. And it had a mouth that spoke great blasphemies. And it, like a man, it had eyes and mouth, but it also was part iron. And Nebuchadnezzar saw this beast as part iron and part clay, part soft and part solid. But this is none other. And then the little horn here is the first mention in the Bible, what the book of Revelation calls the Antichrist. What we call the Antichrist in the New Testament. This is the first time he's mentioned in the Bible. And I want you to look at the culmination of all the world's kingdoms are leading up to this one great king that will be the conqueror and the ruler. And actually, in the New Testament, he is going to take the place of God. He is going to be worshipped as God. And I'm not so sure that this is necessarily a person or a system as much as it is a thing. And I won't go into details about that. I might save that for next week. But in verse number 20 and 21, I want you to see the rise of Antichrist and by the way, Antichrist, that name sounds like, and usually, well, that's somebody that's opposed to God. Antichrist means not only opposed to, but in the place of God. Someone or something that stands between me and God, an idol, an antichrist, something that we put before God. By the way, that could be a good thing. Could be your husband, your wife, your family, your children. Could come between you and God. Could be your job. Thank God you have a job. Thank God you have a family. But when that becomes something between you and God, we've got a problem there. The antichrist rise to power in verse number 15 and 16. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by me and asked him the truth of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of things. And let me mention this, because you see that word interpretation. The only way to properly interpret the Bible is to let God interpret it for you. If you say, well, I think this is what it means, you're headed for trouble. And instead, we should approach the Bible and say, well, where in the Bible does God clarify what he's saying here? That's how we interpret. That's how we, the Bible says, to rightly divide the Word of God. In other words, put it together, piece it together like a jigsaw puzzle. You put pieces together where they go. You can't force them. That's how I put jigsaw puzzles together. I'm going to force that. That thing's going to fit when I'm done with it. And I'm going to make it fit. No, that's not how we treat the Word of God. That's not how you put the puzzle together either. But jump down to verse number 20 and 21. I just wanted to see some things. And again, I won't have time to go to elaborate on these as much as I would like to. And verse number 20, and the 10 horns which were in his head, and the other which came up, before whom 3 fell, even of the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. He was stronger than anyone that's ever come before him. He spake great things. Let me tell you this. This Antichrist is going to have the cure for cancer. Wouldn't that be good? This Antichrist is going to have the cure for Alzheimer's, or old-timers. This Antichrist is going to bring world peace into this world. In verse number, he's going to do something no one else has ever been able to do. In verse number 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Jump down to verse number 23. And he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and he shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. Everything on this earth will be under his control. And he shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them and shall be diverse from the first. And he shall subdue the 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. You say that to your kids. They just wear me out, don't they? I'm going to wear you out, boy. And the thing to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and dividing of time. Now, I've always heard that's 3.5 years. Well, how do you get that? This is a mathematical equation here at the end of verse number 25. The word time is the number one. And the word times, plural, is the number two. And the dividing of time, that's a half. That's 3.5 years. And this is where we get the idea that the 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, is divided into 3.5 segments. The first 3.5 years, this Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to bring great wealth, prosperity, and unity in this world. But the last 3.5 years, that's when everything changes. And we'll just leave that one right there for right now. And this is, and by the way, when you look at our world today, and just consider this, I mentioned this again Wednesday night. In 200 years, we've seen things that from the beginning of time until the 1800s were unthinkable. Think of what travel is like now. These guys just went to Cape Verde. They went there for a week and came back. That used to be, I don't know, a year-long journey to get there. And then to get back here. Another year. Think of all the things that are in our world today that did not exist. 100 years ago, people were farming with horses. Now they've got these huge tractors. The automobile, the airplane, all those things. All the things that have changed since our time. That, can you imagine how Daniel would have described what our world was like today? But we'll just leave that. The book of Revelation, by the way, fills in the details of Daniel chapter number 7. Now, Daniel's given a limited understanding of prophecy, but the book of Revelation is going to fill in a whole lot more details. The last beast, of course, the book of Revelation talks about his mark and the image that he raises to life. That's artificial intelligence, by the way. And the mark, you carry it with you. People say, oh, don't take the mark of the beast. And I used to hear, sorry, it's going to be an injection, it's going to be a tattoo or whatever. No, you carry it with you. It knows where you've been. It knows where you were yesterday. It knows what you're thinking about. And you can ask it a question. It'll respond to you. You call it a cell phone today. That's the thing that watches everything you go, everything you do. You've already taken that mark. But he knows all and will soon do the supernatural in our world. And this is an amazing thing. This is, Daniel was amazed at this, and John's going to be amazed even more so. We're amazed that even Jesus said the elect will be deceived by this power that rises up. The devil is the father of all lies, and he is the instigator of all conspiracies. Isn't it amazing how many conspiracies there are in the world today? And they're just being multiplied by social media and by knowledge of, oh, we know this now that we didn't know then. And any crazy conspiracy you want to come up with, just do a Google search. You'll find 75 other people that believe that same conspiracy. I mean, if you want to, but whatever, I won't get into any of those. But some of the ridiculousness and the foolishness of our world today. But then, this is what I want to look at today. Not just the culmination of the kingdoms of the men. And again, I got too much time on that than I wanted to. But the prophecies that Daniel saw, the greatest part of his prophecy. In fact, the message I wanted to preach tonight is, don't get so enamored by the sideshow you miss the main event. The main event is Jesus coming back again. And that's what Daniel was looking at. And it's so easy to miss that when we study prophecy even. But look at chapter 7 and verse number 9. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. This Ancient of Days here is referring to God the Father. You know, the first time I read that, well, that's talking about Jesus. No, that's God the Father. How do you know that? Because other people have seen the same thing that Daniel's seeing right here. Before Daniel saw this, the prophet Isaiah saw this same picture. Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah describes, and we won't take time to turn there, but he said he saw one high and lifted up and sitting on a throne. That's God the Father. And his train filled the temple, his glory filled the temple. And around him were seraphims or angels or beasts, we might call them. The foundations of the temple shook, the earth, everything shook in his presence and the smoke of his glory. When Isaiah saw this image of God sitting on the throne, the first thing he did is cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean. I am a sinner, unworthy to even stand before this throne." And God says an angel reached underneath that throne and took a hot burning coal and placed it on the tongue of Isaiah, picturing the Son of God and the Holy Spirit coming. And he says as fire touched Isaiah, he said, "Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged." Now, if you jump ahead a number of hundred years, almost 1,000 years later, what John saw was the same thing that Daniel saw. And John even gives us a further explanation in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. My favorite chapters of the book of Revelation are chapter 4 and 5. And I believe this is a picture of what every one of us are going to see. If you're saved, when you leave this world, this is what you're going to see. This is the exact event that you're going to see. You want to say, what's the heaven going to be? You know, folks say we're going to see Grandma sitting in a rocking chair and Grandpa smoking a corncob pipe and some old man up there or whatever. People have these crazy visions of what heaven. You want to know what heaven's going to be like? Read Revelation 4 and 5. John says, "I went into the presence of one who sat on the throne. And around that throne were 24 elders, picturing the saints of God, 12 from the Old Testament and 12 from the New Testament. And on their heads were crowns of gold. And each one had a robe of white. And thunder and lightnings rose up from among the throne. And before the throne were 7 lamps, and he describes them as the Holy Spirit of God. And the sea of glass in front of them, complete calmness, yet a complete violence on the throne at the same time. And the 4 beasts around that throne, the same ones that Isaiah said, that cry out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And then he saw in the hand of the one that sat on the throne, the Ancient of Days, as Daniel calls him, he had a book. And John says that he saw that no one was worthy to take that book and open the book and to break the seals of that book. And he wept much as he saw that book. And an angel spoke up and said, "Oh, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he is able to open that book." And John said he saw come out from among the 24 elders, came a lamb as it had been slain. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already got God on the throne. We've got the Holy Spirit there on the throne, and now we've got God, the Son of God, coming as a lamb that had been slain. And all of heaven rang out with worship and praise to the one that lives forever and ever. And we fell down before the throne on our faces and worshiped God for all eternity and cried out, even with the angels, "Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and riches and praise and glory." Now, Daniel, go back to Daniel and what he saw. In Daniel chapter number 7, as he's seeing the same thing, but he doesn't have the understanding that God gave John. He has the understanding and maybe more understanding of what God gave to Isaiah, but now what Daniel saw in chapter 7 in verse number 21. In verse number 21 it says, "And I beheld, and the same horn," that's the little horn, that's the Antichrist, "made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. The judgment, notice it says that the judgment was given. In other words, the verdict came in favor of the saints of God. In other words, we are no longer guilty of our sin because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. The judgment was given. The verdict was given in the saints of God's favor. And the saints possess the kingdom. We're now in God's eternal kingdom. This is what Daniel saw. And then jump down to the end of the chapter, and we'll have to conclude here in verse number 26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion and consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and whose dominions shall serve, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. That's the kingdom of God. That's the eternal presence of God. In verse number 28, I love this verse. There's a whole message in this verse that sometime I'm going to give you. Maybe next Sunday night. I don't know. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My thoughts, my visions, the things that I understood much troubled me. And my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. Here's the proper response to God's prophecy. How our minds are working overload. We can't comprehend the destruction that's going to come to this world. And again, the book of Revelation talks about the final destruction of religious Babylon and political Babylon. When they're all wiped out, when they're all destroyed, and God raises up. And Daniel even mentions the millennial reign of Christ just for, it's actually mentioned here, but he didn't understand exactly what he's seeing because it seems to blend in. Verse number 13 and 14 are referring to the millennial reign of Christ before God completely destroys this earth. As Peter talks about, the earth and all the elements shall be melted with a fervent heat, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth, where righteousness will dwell for all eternity, where sin will be no more, where there will never be another rebellion against God, and will reign with Him for all eternity with the Ancient of Days. And oh, how I love in verse number 13. And again, I want to just look at that verse and we'll close here. Verse number 13, and I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man, there's Jesus Christ, came with the clouds of heaven. There's the Holy Spirit, the clouds. Remember when the Holy Spirit dwelt among the Israelites? A pillar of fire by day or by night and a cloudy pillar in the daytime. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he went with clouds, and the angel said he's coming the same way with the clouds. There's the Holy Spirit of God. And then came the Ancient of Days, and they brought there the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together there. And we're going to be with him for all eternity. We're going to reign with him for all eternity, not because we've earned a position in His kingdom, not because we're good enough, not because we rose up to the occasion and we did the right thing. No, because we bowed before Jesus Christ and confessed our sin before Him and called upon Him to be our Savior. And He has lifted us up out of the miry clay and set our feet on the solid rock. And He alone is worthy of all praise and glory and honor. We didn't do anything to earn our position in Christ. We simply received the gift of eternal life. And let me ask you, have you received the gift of eternal life today? Have you called upon Him to be your Savior? And one day, you say, well, this is a bunch of fairy tales. This is a bunch of nonsense. You wait, you understand this, that Daniel's prophecy was so accurate in describing the second and the third and the beginning of the fourth empire. But we're just waiting for the final description of that final end of the Roman Empire. When you read history and you study history and compare it to Daniel, think, wow, how did he know that? Because God told them. And God spoke to him, and God revealed the truth that people are still amazed. Well, how did he see that? Because that's God's word. This is God's truth we're looking at. And God, who is eternal, knows the beginning from the end. And he knows where it's all going to end. What's this world coming to? It's coming to final destruction is what it's coming to. And God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And well, let's just make it better. Our president boasted a few months ago how he's finally brought peace to the Middle East. What no one else is ever able to do. The only person that's ever going to do that on a temporary basis is the Antichrist. And the only one that's ever going to bring a lasting peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look to him, for he is the Prince of Peace, and he is coming again. And we need to make sure that our eyes are focused on him and not distracted by all the crazy that's going on in our world today. I'm asking you to stand to your